Psalm meditation today is in Psalm 89. Please turn there with me, the New King James Bibles, and we'll read responsively from Psalm 89, this contemplation of Ethan the Ezrahite. Psalm 89, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David.
Your seed I will establish forever, and build up your throne to all generations.
And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be held in reverence by all those around him. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world in all its fullness, you have founded them. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted. Then you spoke in a vision to your Holy One and said, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. With whom my hand shall be established, also my arm shall strengthen him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague those who hate him. Also, I will set his hand over the sea and his right hand over the rivers. Also, I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. His seed also I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky, Selah.
But you have cast off and abhorred. You have been furious with your enemies.
You have renounced the covenant of your servant. You have profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. All who pass by the way plunder him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. You have also turned back the edge of his sword and have not sustained him in the battle. The days of his youth you have shortened. You have covered him with shame. Selah. Remember how short my time is. For what futility have you created all the children of men? Lord, where are your former loving kindnesses, which you swore to David in your truth? Which your enemies have reproached, O Lord, with which they have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. All right. As we all know, I believe there are several different books, actually five books, within the book of Psalms. Originally, as the book of Psalms, the volume of the Psalms was composed, put together from these different Psalms that had been written by such people as Ethan the Ezrahite, the sons of Korah, possibly Solomon, Moses, David, and others, why they were put into five scrolls or books. And so this was the last one of book three, scroll number three. Each one of the ending Psalms has something like this at the end, like we have here in verse 52, a doxology. That is a giving of glory and blessing to Jehovah. Blessed be Jehovah forever. Amen and amen. And sometimes we use just that verse itself for a doxology. An interesting little point here on Psalm 89. Also, if you're dealing with Bible facts, this is the only psalm that has four Selahs in it. No other psalm has that many. All right? The most any other psalm has is three. Many have none. But this is the only one with four. There is a lot here to think about. Now, this is a pretty long psalm. It goes into 52 verses. If I'm remembering correctly, only Psalm 78 and Psalm 119 are longer. Well, I might be mistaken. Psalm 18 might also. Nope. I just turned there. It's shorter. So I believe this is the third longest psalm. We cannot go into any depth on it. Not at this time in a meditation. But what I would have you to see, and perhaps you noticed it as we read through it, it is one that very, very obviously speaks of Jesus Christ. There are a couple of areas where it does so, most especially. As we look in Psalm 89, looking at verses 19 through 23, we see him there as the anointed one. You will remember, of course, that the word anointed in Hebrew is Mashiach, where we get the word Messiah. It is in Greek, Christos, where we get the word Christ. This is looking at the Anointed One, at God's Messiah, at God's Christ, the Son of David. He has been exalted from among the people. He who took to himself an entire, complete human nature while retaining his Godhood. He is chosen. He is the one elect of God. He is the servant David in his excellency. And with God's holy oil, that is the fullness of the Spirit, he is anointed. He is HaMashiach. He is HoChristos. He is the Christ. The enemy shall not outwit him, the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague those who hate him. His God's faithfulness and mercy are with him, and in him his horn is exalted. We see him ruling and reigning in verses 25 through 29, and we see there as well not only the Christ but his seed, that is, all those who are saved by his grace, by his active obedience in his perfect life, his passive obedience receiving the punishment, the guilt of his people, and we see his mighty rule that is going on even today. We see, of course, friends, that his own people, his own children, may fall down. They may be at their knees, but they shall not be destroyed. They shall need discipline, and perhaps harsh and stern discipline. But God will not remove his covenant from his son or any of those found within him. And that takes us through verse 37. These are the joyful promises. This is the joyful portion of this psalm, as the famous Scottish minister John Brown of Haddington said. Now, from verse 38 through verse 51 are the more sad part, where the psalmist, Ethan, is saying, but that's not the way things appear to be. Why, things appear to be just the opposite. Let us remember, friends, that in our own Christian walk, things are not often pleasant. We have had the promise, really, of Jesus Christ from John chapter 16, verse 31. In the world you shall have much tribulation. And that is what is going on here in verses 38 through 51 anyway. Great tribulation, but, he continued on, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Ethan here and all those whom he represents continue to look in faith, dismayed faith, but true faith, to the God who has promised, to the God who is in covenant, to the God who has provided the Savior, David's Son. Ethan and all the Church of Jesus Christ, in the midst of difficulty and in the midst of trial, continue to look to God's Messiah, God's Christ. Now, why is this going on, Ethan seems to be saying? Why, when we have all these promises, in the Christ, do we have these difficulties? Well, let us just go right back to verse 30. If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, into verses 31 and 32, if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But here is not the sword ending. This is discipline. This is turning them about. This is making hard times come so that the people will turn. Why would this happen? It is because of sin. Now, if you've ever read 1 and 2 Kings, and I just a few days ago finished up in 2 Kings in my Bible reading, perhaps some of you are using Robert Murray McChain's Bible reading calendar, and you are there, or you will be at this time next year. And just starting in the First Chronicles, you read these books and you see, oh yeah, this is why the hard times were coming. Because Israel and Judah refused to go where Jehovah had told them. They insisted they would go in their own way. And we're seeing that in our exposition of Isaiah as well, aren't we? That is why all these difficulties come. But the faithful within the northern kingdom, those 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal in Elijah's time, and the faithful within Judah, they were afflicted just the same as the ungodly. But unlike the ungodly who looked to their own lusts, or who looked to the Baals and the Ashtoreths and others, these continued to look to Jehovah and his promised Messiah. But were they not awful sinners too? Were they not under the sin of death by nature? Of course they were. Well, then how could they appeal to these promises? How could they appeal to God and look to Him not for judgment but deliverance? It is because what we see here in verses 38 through 51 ultimately are not looking to Ethan's doubts. They are not looking ultimately to the trials and the disciplines undergone by the people of God. These are ultimately looking to what Jesus endured on the cross. Stay with me for a minute or two. Jesus, there at the cross, is cast off. Why, that is what the leaders of the Jews believed, and they cast that in his teeth. If he were the friend of God, God would deliver him. They were saying, he is abandoned. He is cast off and abhorred, as we read there in verse 38. But it wasn't merely the perception, the perverted perception of the leaders of the Jews. It was Jesus' own acknowledgement as well. When he cried out there at the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? All this description of the way that the people of God are is a good, good description of how it was for Jesus there at the cross. Why? Because he was a sinner like us? No. No, not at all. But because he willingly took responsibility for the guilt of all his people's sin. And thereby he willingly took the punishment due to his people's sin. You will see there in verses 50 and 51 this put very clearly, remember, Lord, the reproach of your servants, how I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the many peoples. True words for him who is the Savior of the world. With which your enemies have reproached, O Lord, with which they have reproached the footsteps of your Christ. Is there any hope for us who are terrible, polluted, often persistent and foolish sinners? Yes, indeed. For as Jesus bore this for all his people, if you are his child, he has borne this for you. So when troublous times come to you, you must not fear that somehow this is the portent of death for you. Discipline you may well receive for your foolishness that you have done even as a believer. But casting off in death you shall never see, for Christ bore that. Casting off by his Father and death. But having paid everything, he then had life. And so all the promises are for you in here. All the promises of God to his people through the Christ are for you here as well. No wonder at the end, Ethan said, and I trust we from the heart say as well, blessed be Jehovah forevermore. Amen and amen. We're going to sing in just a moment here from portion D. This is joyful tidings. This is good news, isn't it? That Jesus Christ has died and has paid the penalty for sinners. He has died that sinners might be saved, might be delivered, might be rescued. And as we see here in these verses, verses 15 through 18, oh, greatly blessed the people are, the joyful sound that know. It is a blessing to know the good news that Jesus saves sinners. And we look in that last stanza there, because our shield belongs to him. What shield are we talking about? The same shield that we saw some weeks ago in Psalm 84. O God, look thou upon our shield, the face of thy Christ, thine anointed, see. That's the same shield. Because our shield, our Savior, belongs to Him, that is to Jehovah, the Lord will safety, deliverance, salvation bring. The Holy One of Israel, who is that? That is the Lord Jesus. He only is our King. Psalm 89, D.